Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hale. This week, we are diving into a message to continue with our focus on fathers, a further extension focus on men, and through that a focus upon the family, the home, the women, the children, and all of the different relations that we have. And to look at as we do life, is there a way that we do life that we have action in it? To act even without knowing fully what's going to happen. And as we do that, are we doing that with trust? Are we doing that with trust of one another? Are we doing that with trust in the Lord? Are we doing that with trust at all? Or is it something we just go through with fear? Is it possible that there's an order, a way that we handle life? And not that there's a perfect formula, right? But to know that maybe things happen and there's an order in which we do things in order to honor and to serve Jesus. Is it possible that as we are discussing these things, there's something that rises in you, that has a rise of response, or there's a desire to raise or to praise or to do a move different than what we usually do? As I'm coming here into service this morning, I've been camping with my family at Mississinewa Campground. So came in down from there, they're all up there today, and just praying over this morning, and praying over where are we going with this? God, is this even the message to do? Is this even the words? Who the heck am I, some 30-year-old kid, to be up here preaching about manhood? I feel like I just maybe started being a man at 30, so there's a whole lot to figure out. But even in that mindset or that thought of, do I feel like I've been initiated? Do you all feel like you've been initiated into life? Do you feel like there's young men in your life who have been uninitiated, who are walking around in full-grown bodies and yet are a child at heart, or a boy in their way they carry themselves? And to even look at this statement of an uninitiated man is a lost man. But more to that as we get there. And so if you picture your life, think about your life as a commercial, all right? So if you look at your life as a commercial, Mike's chuckling back there, something came to mind. But if you picture your life like a commercial, what are you selling, right? So for me, maybe I'm selling camping today. Or maybe you're a sport mama and that you're selling that thing hard. Or maybe you're a coffee fanatic and you feel like you got to grind your beans in order to get that next extra squeeze of flavor. Maybe you're a gamer, maybe you're a collector, maybe you are selling goat milk soap. Maybe you are selling a focus on athletic wear, maybe you're selling that next enjoyment of biscuits and gravy. Maybe you're selling that's good enough. Life, you know, it's hard and that's good enough. I'll put in what I can, but that's good enough. Or is it possible that I want to live life and nothing is ever enough? It's never enough. Maybe it's some questions like, are we selling knowledge and wisdom or are we selling cheap tricks? Are we promoting whatever seems right to us or are we wrestling with what deep down we know to be right and true? Are we advertising identity of the world and materialism and whatever phrases we throw out there in the church talking about the world? Or are we advertising sacrificial servitude with the offer of salvation? About a month or so ago, the Courier from Upland area came out, and I knew there was an article coming. I didn't know that my family and I were going to be on the front page of said newspaper. And so I brought home a copy to show to Jessica. And she's like, hold on, I didn't sign up for this. I knew that you were going to be taking on some roles with the town, but I didn't know that it was going to be having some picture of myself posted out there. And her words were, it was a different level of exposure than I was ready for. I get it, honey. This was different than I expected too. But it's a different level of exposure than I was ready for. And do we feel that at times in life? I am not ready for this. Who am I to be in this position? Who am I to make that call? who am I to have to handle this situation? Or who am I to have to walk through this? Why in the world is this happening? And I think it goes back a little bit to the question of who are you? Who are you? And I ask that to the men of men, who are you? What gives you an identity? For our church family, what gives us our identity as a church family, but as individuals, as a family? On what foundation are we building our sense of self? And our answer, whatever that answer might be, whether true or false, defines our life. Almost every culture predating the modern era, modern world, had a process of initiating boys. And so they would have these different experiences you had to go through, or you had to go and, you know, kill a wild animal, or you had to be able to shoot the arrow through the thing, or you had to be able to throw that thing so far, or you had to be able to, you know, whatever stereotypical things we can throw out there. But there's a reason they're stereotypes. It's because they were real. And so we have these processes that we have our boys go through. In some cultures, male initiation was intentional. It was deeply ritualized. It was publicly celebrated. It was on purpose. It was in order to tell our young men in particular, there are certain expectations we have of you in this tribe. You will rise to those, and you will carry them out, or you are not a part of what we're doing. Pretty strong expectations. And there's an example in Kojonup, Australia, of the stone axe. And you may have heard of this one before, but and it's described in Richard Rohr's book, Adam's Return. And he's talking about the stone axe. These boys were led out at the conclusion of their initiation rite to create a stone axe. And so they're going through all of these passages, if you will. They're going through these experiences. There's certain things that they need to be able to do to not just take care of themselves and keep themselves alive, but to actually be able to help take care of their family, to take care of the tribe, to know that there's certain roles and expectations we have to care for one another. And so at the conclusion of these rites, they were led out to create a stone axe. And they then returned to the community with this axe in hand. And they embodied a new reality, that they were soulfully equipped to wield power on behalf of the good of the community. It wasn't just an axe that I could use to split wood. It wasn't just a tool so I could prove myself, but it was a tool to say, we recognize who you have become. Now be that. Now wear that. Now do that. Believe it. And I think the lack of consistent and intentional male initiation is one of the most destructive omissions of our age. As we said, an uninitiated man is a lost man. And we've seen the devastating impact, maybe even in your own families, of uninitiated men accumulating power that's not wielded for the good of the community. John Eldridge from Fathered by God says it this way: what we have now is a world of uninitiated men, partial men, boys mostly walking around in men's bodies with men's jobs and families, finances and responsibilities. The passing on of masculinity was never completed, if it was begun at all. The boy was never taken through the process of masculine initiation. And that isn't to say that I'm advocating for you got to give a boy his first beer at the age of 10, or you got to, you know, whatever those things might be. Maybe you do that, I don't know. But I'm not there yet. My kid's only 10 months old. But there's something about now having some kids, having a son, turning 30, which apparently that means something to me. It starts to change you. There's a need for something more, a different man to rise up and out and above, out of the ashes, if you will. And so when we do not have initiation, and I think that all of us, not just men, we all seek that naturally. We desire that. We want to know that we have something to contribute. We desire to be known. We desire to be needed. We desire to be something that brings value so that in some sense I know that I have inherent value. It's hard for us, especially as men, I think, for us to believe that we just have value and that God cares and that God loves us and God created us. Do we even have to have a particular purpose in this moment? Because I'm someone, like I was just talking with family last night at supper, and they said, what do you like to do? And I just listed all these things that had a point, or they had a purpose, or there was like an end goal, or there was an accomplishment at the end. Even if it was just me who knew it, I knew I had to do that stuff. Otherwise, I'm sitting down at a campfire, and my leg is bouncing up and down, because I have to do something. And yet, at the same time, I really like being comfortable, and I really like sitting down with my family. I really like chilling out with my wife on the couch at home. And those are good things. But to know that there's something in me, there's a driver, and many times it's an unhealthy driver. Many times unable to just be and to be present and to enjoy and be present. But if we have this drive or this need inside of us to be initiated and it's not done, we then go seek it for ourselves and we go find it somewhere else. And so we have this skewed identity. In the act of suppressing the knowledge of God, we have a fallen heart who suppresses, that's a hard word, true self-knowing. Whenever we forget God, we forget who we are. So we have this identity, and we go then and we seek out, and I try to make it something. I try to figure out, all right, I didn't have this male role model, but I see these other guys, and so I'm going to be like them. Or I have this mama who's just a worker, and she makes it happen, and I want to try and be something like her, and I want to try and go through life, and that's what I want to accomplish, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I want to have this much money. I want to have this many women around my life. I want to have, just being honest, like there's just these drivers that people have in life and they want to seek them because they haven't been given this initiation where they get to know what to do. And so then, when we have done that, we then turn to the people that we care about, their perspective and their opinion, and we say, here's who I am, here's what I have. And they're like, I am not a fan of that. That is not what a man is. That is not, you know, you left your family behind, or whatever the example might be. We now have the skewed vision of, I sought after this, and now it's not what is needed. Who the heck am I? My daughter knows who she is. Her name is Kaylin Jane Hale. We try to tell her, you know, Kaylin, you are beautiful. Kaylin, you are so smart. Kaylin, you are intelligent. Kaylin, you are just goofy. And she says, no, I'm not. I'm Kaylin Jane Hale. Okay, girl. Every time. It's always the full name. We didn't like rehearse this. That's just what she does. She knows who she is. She's Kaylin Jane Hale. And she'll let you know whenever she doesn't like what you're telling her. So sometimes I like to call her Kaylin, because she likes to be silly. And so, Kaylin, you're just silly. Yeah, Dad, you're so silly. And then I'll call her, Kaylin, you're goofy. And she goes, this is the one exception. She goes, no, you're Goofy. I'm Minnie. And Mama's Daisy. And brother's Mickey. And Lucy's Pluto. Sometimes I get to be Daisy too. I don't know, but. Right, but it's a name that she was given as Kaylin Jane Hale, and she holds to that. And sometimes we try to put these other names on, whether it's our kids or friends or whoever. No, that's not who I am. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to accept that what you're saying is true. I know who I am. My father named me, and this is my name. And so we have these wrong ways of defining who we are, and they arise naturally in our hearts. Again, because we have this driver to go and be initiated. We have this driver to know who we are, and so when it's not given or named to us, we then seek it out, and it naturally is there. And so the world around us is going to preach ideas and options. I think we all know this. They're models of innumerable false identities. But Jesus maps out and walks out a counterintuitive and countercultural way to know who we are. David Powlison puts it this way: your true identity is a gift of God, a surprising discovery, and then a committed choice. So a gift, something we discover, and then it's a choice to pursue. Even as we look at this and we think about life and we think about if we choose every day to be whatever identity we choose to be, if we're not choosing the one that God has spoken over us, that God has named us, that God has put into us, instead we get what Greg Moore says. And he says, masculinity begins to atrophy when it terminates on itself and even on its family. So is there an order that God has made things happen? Is that he has gifted us with a name. He has then made it a discovery that we get to experience. It's not just a one moment, oh, there's a gift, cool, now I know who I am and I can be good to go. Wouldn't that be nice? Come on, God. But no, he says, I want to go through this thing with you. I want to be in those deep, difficult places. I want to be in those excitements and celebrations, and I want to be in the mix with you. And then we have these choices that we make. What are we committed to? Am I committed to my job and my career? Maybe my family with that. Am I committed to my kid being the best ball player possible? Am I committed to making sure my kid doesn't do what I did, and so I'm so hard on them that somehow I drive them into doing that thing anyway? But is it possible to experience an order that God has made? One order that's put out there, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. It says, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. And this is a passage that gets abused and used to put down women, to put down family, and to say the man is the authority. But it's to say that there's an order that God made it. When the man leads in a worthy, worthwhile, amazing way, the family will flourish. As I've been fortunate to do a few weddings, I'm grateful to Pastor Brock for sharing his notes to be able to work off of as I put those together at times. But we talk about how amazing it is that on the wedding day, you know, we'll have the man drop hands and step back and look at her. Usually it's this way. And just to take in the beauty of it all. And to imagine a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, that she would have blemishes upon her because of my leadership, because of our leadership as a man, as our leadership in our home. It's not to say the man is more important, not to say that the man is the best one. It's just to acknowledge that God has made us distinct and to say that she is beautiful and she is amazingness and that she would thrive and be a difference maker in our community because of my headship and my leadership. The same is true with Christ, that Christ would set us up, that he takes care of us, that he looks after us, that he is our head, that he is the one that we submit to because he is amazing in leadership. It's worthy and exciting to be able to submit to him. There's a book that I've been beginning to read. It's called The Barbarian Way. And I want to read a little bit of a section here to us. And so this is written by Erwin R. McManus. And he is writing, as we dive in here, he's writing about Robert the Bruce. Robert the Bruce was was in Scotland and was a Scottish noble, was a part of the William Wallace Braveheart type story. And the movie is cool, the story is amazing, and yet probably a little different than the movie. But talking about Robert the Bruce, he writes, he died in 1329 at the age of 54. Shortly before his death, Robert the Bruce requested that his heart be removed from his body and taken on crusade by a worthy knight. James Douglas, one of his closest friends, was at his bedside and took on the responsibility. The heart of Robert the Bruce was embalmed and placed in a small container that Douglas carried around his neck. In every battle that Douglas fought, he literally carried the heart of his king pressed against his chest. In the early spring of 1330, Douglas sailed from Scotland to Granada, Spain, and engaged in a campaign against the Moors. In an ill-fated battle, Douglas found himself surrounded, and in this situation, death was both certain and imminent. In that moment, Douglas reached for the heart strapped around his neck, flung the heart into the enemy's midst, and cried out, "Fight for the heart of your king!" One historian quoted Douglas as shouting, "Forward, brave heart, as ever thou were wont to do, and Douglas will follow his king's heart or die." The motto of the Douglas clan to which the present Duke belongs is even to this day simply forward. The call of Jesus is one that demands action. Jesus began his public ministry with a simple invitation, come, follow me. His closing instruction to his disciples can be summarized in one word, go. A quick survey of the modern church would lead you to believe his invitation was come and listen, and his closing mandate would be summarized in the one word, no. The tribe of Jesus, above all people, should rightly carry the banner forward. And so even as our church, we get to experience growth here in our community, And that's amazing and wonderful, and numbers are not everything, right? But it's the people. And there's some passages in Scripture that talk about men that are missing men of God. From Ezekiel 22, Ecclesiastes 7, and Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. I'm looking for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the place where it is broken to stop me from destroying the land, but I found no one. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So is there any point? Do I just live life like, God, why? If there's not even a good one, what are we supposed to do? God, who am I? Who the heck are you, God? You're our creator. Okay, if I believe that, God, what am I supposed to do with this when you look down and say there is no, not even a good one at all? We know then the answer to that would be Jesus. And coming after Jesus in Acts 5, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So we do what is good, we act without knowing what is fully capable, and we trust the Lord. Are we willing to believe that God is our Father, that He wants to initiate, that He wants to speak in, He wants to move and be involved, that He adopts us in Christ? By the power of the Spirit, He gives us a childlike heart. Or is my heart cut off? Is my heart hard? Am I avoiding paying attention to the person across the table speaking to me? Come on, man. We need parenting every day. I need it. I was just talking to my brother-in-law last night. I have no idea how to parent my child. I have some ideas, but I don't know how to handle her at certain times. I need parenting. We need tender care. We need patient instruction. We need constructive discipline. I need that from you. Faith knows and embraces this core identity. I am God's child. There was recently an interaction I saw. It was just a short clip of two guys, and they were having a conversation. And it was this guy, Jerry Seinfeld. You may have heard of him. And then another guy who's a little newer on the scene, but not too new. His name is Zach Galifianakis. Don't ask me how to spell his last name. And there's this interaction. Jerry does is he takes these other comedians or other people that he knows, and he takes them out to coffee, and they drive in his fancy cars. And I just paid attention to the conversation. I don't know much about cars at all. But it starts off, and it says, Zach says, I don't have confidence. You have confidence, right? And Jerry says, I have tons of confidence. And Zach says, yeah, I've never had that. And Jerry, you don't need it. Zach, I'd like to have it. And Jerry says, I'm telling you what you need. And Zach says, but where do you get it? And Jerry says, I'm telling you what you need. Believe in what you bring and bring it. And I'm not trying to put Jerry Seinfeld on the level of Scripture, but I'm just trying to express there's other ways that these drops of knowledge and wisdom can be soaked into us. Is it possible that's been woven into him in some way by the Lord? Are we willing to believe that our true identity is who God says we are? It's not Jerry Seinfeld telling you who you are. It's not Alyssa Meyer telling you who you are. It's not Cody Schrout telling you who you are. It's not your children telling you who you are. It's the Lord God Almighty. The Lord gets the first word because he made you. He gets the daily word because we live before his face. And he gets the last word because he will administer our final comprehensive life review. We grow when we obey God rather than men, and we grow when we do what is good. We act without fully knowing what we are capable of, and we trust the Lord. I think it's significant, dropping back to that Acts story, is that it wasn't just one father and one son went and did the thing. It wasn't just that one adult male and this other kid who didn't have a dad went and did this other thing. It was as a tribe. It was together. It wasn't men in a silo. It wasn't a youth group by itself. It wasn't a women's group only alone. It was a group of people. I'm in this committed family together. We're going to do this thing. I'm going to live different than I normally do. I'm unwilling to be the same man that I am today. Yeah, I'm going to slip back into it at times because that's my sin. But I'm going to be different today. Even this morning as Pastor Brock stepped forward to the altar. I stood there for a bit and thought, would me stepping forward just be like a following? Is that just like what I'm supposed to do? Is that? No, it was real. It's not something I like doing. And I stood up here and rocked back and forth and sang and put my hands at the air at times, and I'm like, this is different. But this is good. Coming out of last week, Pastor Brock had a section in his message talking about raising. He said, raising up, whether it's raising up other men, or it's raising up a family, or it's raising up children, it's raising up a community, it's raising up a hallelujah. It's raising up arms and prayers. Just think about how often we raise up something. There's a passage where Moses is in a battle. I think it's Moses. And as long as his arms are in the air, is that right, Cindy? Cindy's nodding her head, yeah. As long as his arms are in the air, the battle went in the way of the Israelites. But as soon as his arms went down, it started being the enemy who was winning. So he'd put his arms back up again, and exhausted, worn out. And so they had people come underneath and beside him and hold his arms in the air. Because I am going to raise my arms, and I'm going to raise up a community. I'm going to raise up a town. I'm going to raise up a family. I'm going to raise up men around me. I'm going to raise up women around me. There's a book called Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. She's a pretty popular lady these days. And she writes in this book, one very small piece of it, but a big piece of it. She talks about dad bod leadership. Anybody else a fan of dad bods? You don't have to answer that. Apparently it's all the rage. I don't know. But in there, she talks about how a dad bod leadership is you have a strong back, steel in your spine. You know what you're about. I know who I am. This is how I make decisions. And yet to handle kiddos with a steel spine oftentimes is not the way they need to handle. Or to handle a spouse in just a romantic way. I can be reinforced by that. And yet to have the soft, tender, comfortable approach. Shane knows what I'm talking about. And yet at the same time, I have the steel in my spine and a soft front and this wild heart. As Pastor Brock would say, a heart that's fully alive. Are we willing, men? Some of us have already maybe lived this a little bit physically, to adopt this dad bod leadership approach. And to say that I have a strong back and I'm going to learn who I am. Because of who God says I am. I have a soft front, and I'm going to care for my kids and my spouse and the women and even the young men in my life, and to have this compassionate approach to say that, hey, I see you, I hear you, you're hurting, you're dealing with whatever it might be. I don't have a solution, but I'm willing to be present in your life. We've talked about these mentorship programs that we're in the midst of developing with the school system of all ages. Could you carve out 30 minutes out of your week? Even to be on a phone call with a kid. Doesn't have to even be in a program. Just do it. Call somebody. Invite them out. Get to know them. Treat it like it's a first date, but don't actually like tell the kid you're on a date. Don't do that. Never mind. That's not in my notes. I'm freewheeling here. That's a problem. But just to know that our core identity as a man leads to calling, and it leads to acting like God. Am I willing to admit my weakness could lead to a strength? Am I willing to admit that serving does lead to mastery? The death of something leads to resurrection. And it never works the other way around. So when our core identity is meek and lowly like Jesus, then our calling develops into this image of purposeful, of wise, of courageous, willing love. God searches every man's heart. We live before his eyes. Faith knows and embraces this core identity. I am a God-fearing man. I'm not trying to be. I'm not in training to be. I'm not hoping to be. God says, you are God-fearing men and women. You are. Whether you always act like it or not. I'm always a father. I don't always act like it. I'm always a son, I don't always act like it. I'm always a pastor, but I don't always act like it. So I go back to the question we started at the beginning. Who am I? I don't know, but I'm willing. One more verse, and then I'll pray. 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Our faith is not a Sunday morning. It's not a Wednesday night. It's not a Sunday night. It's not a $20 bill. It's not a $1,000 bill. It's not a whatever we want to make it to be. We know. I believe that you know. So let's do something with it. I'm so grateful to be here, part of this church. I'm grateful that y'all are too, even online. Let's pray. Jesus, as we maybe have a rising in us today to do something different, whether it's to practice disciplines, whether it's to go and mentor, whether it's to just be willing to listen a little bit more instead of just doing and acting and taking care of things. God, we do have that call. And yet we're willing to just sit and wait for your word go. And then we say yes. God, we are uninitiated people who need your initiation. We are people who are submitting to you today. And we are saying, God, I don't know what is right all the time. I'm willing to set aside what I'm used to, what is normal, what's my go-to. And they say, God, I want to be a life changer and a life giver. Not just to be faux happy or joyful, but God, that we want to be people who are of you, who are full of peace and excitement, who are full of willingness and compassion, who will sit in those hard places and be present. Thank you that you do that. Thank you that you love so much more than we can even fathom. God, we raise a hallelujah to you this morning. And as we dismiss, God, just would we go and live and believe and trust. Trust you, Lord. Let me pray. Amen. So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.